Words for Life today is a talk by Australian Natalie Smith about her work for the leprosy mission in Papua New Guinea. This was a talk she gave at Ormond Anglican Church here in Melbourne recently. Talk time is 25 minutes.
The leprosy mission is its vision and mission. It's all about defeating leprosy and transforming lives. So I'll explain a bit more about leprosy as we go along. But Leprosy Mission would like to see the world that is free from the disease of leprosy and the effects that it has, and being able to transform the lives of those who are affected so that they can still feel fulfilled and participating and part of it. And so the way we do that is through following Jesus' example, like in the verse that we read this morning. And I wish today that we could just heal people as quickly as Jesus did. Probably if we had enough faith we could, but it doesn't seem to be as easy. But we're trying to at least restore people's lives after they've been affected by leprosy. And so we strive to break the chains of leprosy and empower people to get healing, dignity and life in all its fullness. That's the aim of the mission. Next. So just some statistics about leprosy. The Leprosy Mission works in 45 countries around the world, and they include both supporting countries and implementing countries. So supporting countries like Australia that raises funds and awareness to support the work in an implementing country like Papua New Guinea, where there still are people who have leprosy. Just for information, about a new case of leprosy is detected every 2 minutes worldwide. So that's how common it still is as a disease. And the Leprosy Mission works through countries using about 2,000 national staff in all the countries put together. And they are working to deal with leprosy in their countries. And Leprosy Mission very much wants to build the capacity of those in those countries to manage the health problems that they have. So we're very much involved in capacity building and strengthening systems that are already in place. Yep, just it's a bit hard to see that one, but the coloured countries are countries where leprosy still exists, and the orange ones are where it exists the most. So India by far has the most leprosy in the world. But it still exists in Africa, in Asia, in South America, and very much is aligned with poverty. So where there's clusters of poverty, that's where you'll probably also find leprosy. Okay, this is Papua New Guinea, probably you know, but it's the country just north of Australia. It's only, like, I flew yesterday from Port Moresby to Cairns and it took an hour and a half, so it's not that far away. And yet it's probably worlds apart as far as living conditions and environments. It has a population of about 7 million people, but within that there's over 830 different ethnic groups and 800 different languages. So one of the reasons that the ethnic groups and the cultures are so diverse is because of the geography of the country. It's very mountainous. Lots of tropical forests, not many roads, and so people tend to just stay in their communities and not move much, which has led to it being so diverse. Their two main languages now are Motu and Talk Pidgin, which is kind of a trade language that developed over the years, and English is the educated language of the country. As I said, for the geography, most of it, 80% is uninhabited. But the 20% where people can live, it's in isolated pockets, and it's isolated by the mountains, by rivers, by swamps, thick tropical jungle, so it's quite a difficult place to access. There's not many roads connecting provinces, and most of the time you have to get to places either by sea transport or through the rivers by boat, or by small planes that fly into the mountain areas. There's kind of four regions, if you imagine the map again, the southern and the middle and the north of the main island, and then the islands. They have their own parliament and they elect members who stand in the parliament for them. Here's the map again. Okay. Just a bit of history about PNG. It was an Australian protectorate before 1975, so a lot of Australians have had input into PNG. I don't know if any of you here have been to Papua New Guinea or had input. Put your hand up, yeah, a couple. Yeah, there's a lot of Australians have done work there. It got independent in 1975. As I said, I have covered this slide, forgot about that. And yeah, it's actually, if you see the second last point, it has like 22 provinces, but over 22,000 little villages. So they're scattered all over the place. And in many of those villages, there's people with leprosy, so it's quite hard to access. And that's one of the biggest problems, is that people in leprosy in those villages have difficulty getting to health services. They might have to walk 2 or 3 days to get to a clinic. And then even if they get there, the health worker may or may not know how to detect leprosy. And then the treatment for leprosy may or may not be in the clinic. So there's a lot of challenges for someone to actually get the treatment they need. Leprosy was first reported in 1889 in a British annual report about PNG. So it's been there for a while. But a big group of them were detected in 1930 on one of the islands, New Ireland. And then from there, more cases were found and they were actually isolated onto an island called Gemo Island, which is off Port Moresby. And that island functioned for about 30 or 40 years from the 1940s to the 1970s when there wasn't a treatment for leprosy yet and people were isolated because that was the only way that the world knew how to manage leprosy cases. But I'll come to that in a minute. There were a lot of, from 1945 to 1970s, some leprosy hospitals around as well. But since the 1980s, with the development of new medicine, that we've been able to have a different approach to managing leprosy cases. And that meant we didn't have to separate them. They can be treated now and stay in their communities and be part of the team. The Leprosy Mission bought some property in Madang in 1964. So we've had an office there for over 50 years now, and that's what it looks like. It's got two big kind of two-storey buildings that have been used in the past for training centres and things. Now it's an office downstairs and I live upstairs, so that's kind of where I live. And this is the photo there is of the team that I work with who are based in Madang, which is four staff plus the lady at the front who's the cleaner. But we have a bigger team of 10, so it's not a huge organisation. We have four other people who are community mobilisers, and they work in different provinces with the Ministry of Health to help them implement the leprosy programs. I won't go through them all because it's not really clear, but our role now is not to implement all the services as much, but to build the capacity of the Ministry of Health to manage leprosy as one of the many other diseases that's in the community. So what is leprosy? Some of you might not be sure what it really is. I don't know how clear the photos are, but it's a disease that affects the skin and the nerves, but it's not, when you read the Bible descriptions of leprosy, it's, you know, they'll be covered with white, flaky skin and things. Actually, leprosy is used to describe all different skin disorders in the Bible, so it can include dermatitis and you know, any eczema, all sorts of things. So actual, like, leprosy as the disease leprosy, it just appears as lighter coloured skin patches or reddish patches. I don't know if you can really see it, but there's one on the lady's elbow. That's probably the most obvious one that you can see there. And the unique thing is that it doesn't hurt, it doesn't itch. It's just a patch that actually loses the sense of feeling on the patch. But apart from that, it doesn't bother someone. So it's easy to ignore and just think, oh, well, it's a white patch. I don't need to worry about it. But unfortunately, if they don't take action then, it can develop into something much worse. How do you catch leprosy? It's leprosy's... a cousin to TB. It's also from a bacteria, and it's an airborne disease. So it's spread through coughing and sneezing, just like TB is. It is not as contagious as everybody thought. So you can't catch it as soon as you contact someone with leprosy. It's less contagious than a cold or than TB or HIV. You have to actually live with someone who's infectious for a long period of time in the same house to get enough, to breathe in enough bacteria for it to have an impact on you. And then again, 95% of us here, like our immune systems are strong enough so that we won't catch leprosy. Our bodies will fight it off. But when your immune system is compromised because of poverty, like poor diet, poor hygiene, poor nutrition, then you're more susceptible to getting leprosy. And that's why we see the link between leprosy and poverty. It's not, you can't catch leprosy through eating with people or shaking their hand or wearing their clothes or sleeping in the same bed with them. It's, you can't get it that way. So those are all myths that have been generated but that aren't true. And the great thing is that leprosy is curable. So since the 1980s, they found a combination of three antibiotics could fight the leprosy bacteria. And a person has to just take that medicine for 6 to 12 months and then they're not infectious of leprosy and they're cured of the disease of leprosy. Whether they end up with disabilities or not depends on how early they came. So if we can catch people when they've only got skin patches and treat them, hopefully that stops the disease at that stage. But because leprosy also affects the nerves, if it gets into the nerves, it can cause damage to the nerves, which then affects your sense of feeling in your hands and in your feet and in your eyes. And that, if you don't feel, then you don't feel the wounds and cuts and blisters that we often get. We don't rest them to let them heal, and infection gets in, and that's what destroys the tissues and eats the fingers. It's not the leprosy that eats the fingers away, but it's wear and tear over a long period of time. I'll explain a bit more about those things later, but just about the treatment of leprosy. As I said, the medicine was discovered in the 80s, and in PNG, a program called the Leprosy Elimination Program started. And the aim worldwide, once we found a cure, was to get leprosy eliminated as a public health problem. And the World Health Organization decided that to do that, we needed less than one new case per 10,000 population. So worldwide, there was a lot of effort to reach that number. And countries worked hard to get to elimination. PNG reached it in 2000, other countries before that and some later than that. And then they all thought, oh, great, we've got leprosy sorted. We can, you know, sit back and relax and forget about it. But, of course, that one per 10,000 is still one that is going to spread to others. And so, especially in PNG in the years since then, the spread is still going on and now the numbers are increasing again. But unfortunately, the health workers have forgotten what to do and how to treat it. So that's the problem, the challenge that we have now. Next one. Yeah, so now leprosy is... there's still 6 high endemic provinces where leprosy is more than that 1 in 10,000. And they're the reddish-coloured ones there. So you can see it's mostly in the south and along the western border. And they're actually... apart from around the capital city, they're some of the more inaccessible parts of Papua New Guinea. If we have a look at the statistics, since 2010 till now, in 2010 there were about 280 new cases, but in 2014 there are 540. So the numbers are increasing. And as I said, they're increasing because... there's kind of a build-up, a pool of undetected leprosy cases that no one's been looking out for the last 10 years. And then our most recent project was retraining health workers, teaching them how to find leprosy, what to do, making sure medicine's in the clinics. And so now those cases are being recognised, and, of course, the numbers are suddenly going up because they're detecting that group of people that have been there all along. So hopefully... We will see the numbers go up, but hopefully they'll start going down as we control the transmission again. The really unfortunate thing is that 25% of those who are getting leprosy are children. So they're under 18 years of age, and that's a really high number. That's 1 in 4 of every case is a child who's under 18. And that means that leprosy is going to affect their life, you know, until they're 80. It's not going to kill them, it just could disable them, and then they have to live with loss of sensation in their hands and feet for the rest of their life, which has a big impact. Some of the ways it can affect people is their eyes. It's hard to see that photo, but it actually affects the muscles of the eye so they can't blink properly. So the eyes actually stay open. Even when they try to blink, it doesn't close properly. And that means dust and dirt and dryness can get into the eye and gradually scratch away at it and cause wounds and actually lead to blindness. Next one. It can also affect their hands too, so it can cause loss of sensation but also loss of muscle ability, and so they end up with clawed fingers, which means they can't hold on to things like hoes when they're farming, and they get wounds on their knuckles because they can't use the whole palm to hold around something. And the next one. And then it also affects their feet. So they might get quite nasty ulcers like this on their feet. And he doesn't feel that. That's the problem. So he'll just keep walking on it and breaking down the tissue and never giving it a chance to rest and to heal. So some of the things we do is to help educate people with leprosy who have disabilities how to look after their hands and feet and protect them from further damage. So things like wearing oven mitts or gloves, or wrapping their hands with cloth when they're farming to prevent blisters might be a way. Wearing shoes instead of bare feet when they're walking around their community, and wearing sunglasses to keep their eye protected from dust are some of the ways that we help those who already have disabilities because of leprosy. Next one. So this is a story about Rebecca who lived in a village that I visited as part of an evaluation last year, and she's only 15 years of age and she's already got clawed hands and an ulcer on one foot. And that's because she's one of the ones that got through the loop, fell through the net, whatever. She got leprosy but it wasn't recognised, she couldn't get to a clinic, she hadn't taken treatment, and it's affected her nerves, and she's now disabled at 15, and those disabilities are going to stay till she's 60, 70. And because of that, she feels ashamed, she didn't go to school, she just stays at home, she hasn't learned any skills, she can't do a livelihood. So her life is impacted from now on. So part of what we do is try and work with her to get over her self-stigma of being ashamed of what's happened to her hands and feet, being ashamed of going out into the community. We also work with the communities to help them to realise they don't need to be afraid of leprosy. It's curable. They can't catch anything from Rebecca. That they should keep her included in the community as a member. And then we might look at how can we teach her a skill, like run a small kiosk or help her to go to school if she wants to, so that she can earn a living and be a valued member of her community. In another village that we went to, just on a visit, we found at least 3 new cases of leprosy that hadn't been detected yet and weren't being treated. And that's common in a lot of villages in PNG. There's still a lot of leprosy not being detected. So part of our staff who work in the provinces is going around doing screening at school, screening in the market to see if they can detect cases early. Next one. And the other thing, as I said, we do is try and, because leprosy goes hand in hand with poverty, is try and address issues of poverty as well. So if there's not good water systems in the community, we might work with a water and sanitation agency to get a better water supply in that village. We might help teach them how to build pit toilets where they don't have toilets yet. As you can see in that meeting, there's a pig actually lying on the ground there. And that's a common, they share their villages with animals, pigs, chooks, and they're all just wandering around together. So there's no idea of keeping the animals separate from the people. And of course that spreads disease as well. So basic education about health and hygiene in the communities is also part of what we do. As well, there's other diseases like that the foot in the other picture, and this little kid's got, looks like the white flaky stuff on his hands that you think, oh, that's leprosy, but actually it's a disease called grilli, which is easily cured with ointment, but if you weren't educated, you would think, oh, maybe that's leprosy. So there's also diseases that can confuse, health workers can confuse with leprosy if they're not educated properly. This little boy, the one in the green top, he's only six, but we found that he had leprosy, and he's one of six children in a family in a remote village. So if he's not treated, he's going to be spreading it to the other kids. So it can often impact on the whole family if it's not caught and stopped in time. Yeah, so at the moment with how leprosy mission works in Papua New Guinea is that we partner with the National Department of Health and help build their systems and their structure in managing leprosy. And this is to try and bring in sustainability as well, so that in the long term they know how to manage leprosy in their country. So we've just coming to the end of a three-year project where we've been retraining all the health workers. We also supported some dermatologists from the hospital to go to India to get training specifically in leprosy, and a lab technician who can do a test to diagnose leprosy in the hospital. So we're building the skills of the health workers, and then they're training other health workers in each province on how to recognise leprosy. And now, because of that, the Port Moresby General Hospital is detecting about 20% of all the new cases. But again, is that just because those cases are coming there and it's not in other places, or it's still in other places, we just don't have the people who can detect it? So there's a lot of work still that needs to be done. Part of what the project also did was develop a leprosy training manual, and this has been distributed all over PNG to all the health clinics. So even if they haven't had the training, they can look up the manual, see photos of leprosy and see what to do. So that's another way that we're trying to get the information out there. I guess why we still need your help is that both for funding and for prayer is that now the PNG, like many developing countries, has quite a corrupt government and poor leadership, and a lot of the government funds, even though PNG is a wealthy country, it has a lot of resources and a lot of mining going on at the moment, that money is not reaching the grassroots level, and it's being siphoned off by the leadership. And so even just this year, there's been a freeze on government funding for any services. And of course that impacts not only on TB and HIV and malaria, the big diseases, but also impacts on leprosy. So the Leprosy Mission is really the only organisation in PNG that's putting funds into leprosy work. And as I've explained, it's quite a dire situation. We're also at the end of a project period, so we're in the process of applying for more funding through New Zealand Aid and Australian Aid to get the funds that we need to support that project. We haven't got that new project yet, so at the moment we've only got funds for this year. So prayers for success of our project proposal submissions would are really appreciated to ensure that we've got the funds to keep going. As I said, and PNG is also an expensive place to work, so all those mining industries that have come have really pushed up the prices of general commodities, and it actually makes it quite difficult to get the airfares for the planes to reach those places, or fund the boats to go up the rivers. So your prayers, what we'd appreciate is for that we can get funding for our new projects, both through government support and donor support through churches and the general public in Australia and other countries. And we're also looking at moving the Leprosy Mission office from Madang, which is in the north, to Port Moresby, so that we can be more centrally located and better linked with other organisations. Yeah, and just pray for the country. It's got corrupt leadership. It's not really going anywhere fast, and there's a lot of people on the ground who are suffering because of that. So your prayers for PNG would be really appreciated.